work, everybody. The plane sitting like this. They probably have where they daven mincha, right over here, the mincha room. There should be enough sitter room. If not enough there, we'll get them from the second floor base medish. How much you have a sitter, and how much should have as a handout. Siyata Deshmaya, we're going to discuss this morning, has advertised some of the wisdom of my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha in respect to the Muslims of Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, I'm only a klisheni, giving it over my own language. And when the Rebbe would say it, it would be much more clear, much more profound. But even we learn in the Hilchos Shabbos that sometimes klisheni also can be mevash. So perhaps this klisheni will cause a little bit of an inspiration with respect to our preparation for Rosh Hashanah. We'll begin with source number one. U'mitzvah b'tokin yosem and abavarchim. The greater mitzvah to blow shofar and to say the brachas of Musaf Rosh Hashanah. Ketzad? Shtei ayaros. V'yachas tokin v'yachas mevarchim. Holchin l'mokom shetokin and holchin l'mokom shemevarchim. You go to the place, thank you so much. You go to the place where they blow, at the place where they recite the brachas. Remember, in the olden days, the average person didn't know how to daven. Either they couldn't read, or they didn't have siddurim or machzorim. But as the case may be, you needed a bal tefillah. Oh, thank you. To be motzi, everybody. So you had one of two. So one city. I think we have more than enough right now. One city. Bal toisim is one of the discussions over here. One city only a bal tekiya. One city has only a chazan. And you take a choice. You only have one or the other. So then, it's preferred that you go to the city where they have the Baal Tekiya, and not the city where they have the Baal Tefila. Pshita, says the Gemara. Hodoraisa, Hodorabanan. Tekiya Shofar, the Mitzvah, Yom Tshuvi Elochem. And the Brachas are presumably Mitzvah. So of course, Hodoraisa beats the Mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, Lo Tzricha. Afal Gav, the Hovadai, Vahosofek. In other words, for example, there are two towns. In one town, I've guaranteed to get a bal tefillah to be yotzei the brachas of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. The other town, a 50% chance that I'll find a bal tekiya to blow the shofar for me. I go to the 50% chance of the tekiya shofar over the 100% chance of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. Is it clear? Everyone, clear as day? Everyone understands it exactly? You can always raise your hand and ask the question. Fine. This Gemara, Rabosai, presents a very, very significant challenge to two of the greatest Gedolim of history. Or I should say, let me rephrase that. This Gemara presents a challenge to two statements made by one of the greatest Gedolim in history, named Rashi. In Rashi. How so? We'll start with number three, because that's a parish on Chumash. Zichron and Trua, Psuki Zichronos, Psuki Shofros, Lashon Rashi. The Ramban says he should have gone to Malchus too, but he doesn't understand the whole thing. In the sixth line, Aval Kol Zeh Asmachta Midivreihem. Why is Rashi interpreting a pasuk in Chumash by introducing a rabbinic ordinance instead of something which is required by the Torah? Umefurash amalam adalam adveis, hochen lemokum shetokin, ben hochen lemokum shemivarchin. Pshita hodaraisa hodarabanan. Quotes our Gemara. So zichron tshuva means yom tshuva. Rashi's pshat and chumash is incorrect at the Ramban. How can Rashi say pshat and pasuk zichron tshuva means malchus, achronos, and shofros when the Gemara says explicitly in Rosh Hashanah lamadalam adveis that it's the rabbanan? That's a bombshell kasha. That's a fantastic, powerful kasha against Rashi. Question number one. Question number two, another word of Rashi. This is in source number two. It says the Lamadalim at base, Tkiya Subrachal Shavash Hashanah, Ma'akvezu Azu. Now, what does that mean? Afal Gadim Mitok Pirish HaKuntris. Again, Rashi. Din Birech V'lo Toka O Toka V'lo Birech Pirish. Birech Malchus Zichronos V'Shofros. That means, according to Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara Lamadalim, if you blew without Malchus Zichronos V'Shofros, or if you said Malchus Zichronos V'Shofros and didn't blow, so Ma'akvezu Azu. Each prevents the other from being fulfilled. Says Tosus against Rashi, E F Shaloma came. Absolutely impossible, based on exactly the same Gemara that we said before. The Tanya, the Kamon, Shnei Oros, Biachas Tokin, Biachas Mevorkin, Shuholach Holach Lemokim Shetokin, Reinoch Lemokim Shemevorkin. Stop right there. According to Rashi, you could save yourself a trip. It's a 1 hour walk to where they blow, and it's an hour and a half walk to where they daven. Stay home. You're not going to be able to do anything anyway. If Ma'akvezu Azu, so the shoe which only blows is not Yotze. Shoe that only davens is not Yotze. Stay home. Why walk an hour or more? Everyone follow me? Another bombshell kasha against Rashi HaKadosh. So my Rebbe Zichron Lebracha answered both questions with the following beautiful interpretation. Tkiyas Shofar is unlike other mitzvahs asay which we perform, which are more, should I say it, technical. You do this, fulfill the mitzvah. You don't do it, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Tkiyas Shofar, as the Gemara itself says, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, based on those same words of Zichron Trua, requires, for example, Kavana. In the Sukkah of Kavana, the Gemara says it requires Kavana, it says Zichron Trua. That means a long story, what that means precisely. But you see, you get it, we all understand this ourselves, that Tkiyas Shofar is not just, oh, you blow. It has to be feeling. The Rambam says, it's a wake-up call. Xeris HaKosov, yes, but it's also a wake-up call to do tshuva. It's a cry to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Tkiyas Shofar is, not just a technicality. So therefore, my Rebbe explained that reciting Malchus Zichronos and Shofros is a critical component of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shofar. And therefore, one who blows Shofar and does not say Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, ma'akva zu in the sense, not that you don't fulfill anything. Oh, for sure, you fulfill the technical fulfillment you have. But the greater enhancement, if I may use that expression, the enhancement of the mitzvah, which is found in the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, is lacking. Ma'akvezu Azu means you cannot have a perfect and complete fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shofar without the additional dimension of the recitation of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, which explain and enhance and portray in vivid detail the fundamental themes underlying the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. Similarly, the person says Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, as we do on Shabbos, and doesn't blow. You know, it's like, you're just waiting. He said, Malchus, you say, 10 psuk. No, now comes the climax. You're just waiting for the climax. You're waiting for that shofar sound to be the climax of this lengthy recitation of the psukim of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, respectively. It's missing. Not Shabbos, it's missing. It can't help it. It's there. You can't do it. You understand that you're certainly missing a significant dimension of the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, which you crave, which is the shofar that is the final point of that particular bracha, which puts it all together and gives you the highest feeling. You're missing it. So my Rebbe said pshat, that ma'akvezu azu does not mean in the full sense that if you have shofar without a bracha of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars, or Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars without shofar, then you have absolutely zero. Rashi never meant that. Rashi meant that each is ma'akiv the other insofar as one without the other makes it itself incomplete. Shofar without the brachas is incomplete. The brachas without shofar is also incomplete. Ma'akiv zu just means it's ma'akiv the complete fulfillment of the other one. This is my Rebbe's pshat. Having said this pshat, we understand very well that Tosfos Kasha in source number 2 falls away. Tosfos says, how can Rashi say in birch lo toko toko lo birch mouth on shofas, you're not yotze, it's ma'akros. If Yev Shalom came, because there are two cities, one they blow and one they daven, you go to the one that they blow, even though that's saying mouth on shofas. The answer is absolutely. Because the fundamental mitzvah d'oraisa you can fulfill by blowing without Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. However, the complete fulfillment of Malchus, of Tkir Shofar requires the addition of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. That's what the Gemara means when it says Ma'akva Zuwazu. It never meant, Rabosai, that with one without the other is zero. It meant that, use math, if you have both together, it's a two. If you have only one of them, it's a one. So you want to have a two. So if you have both together, you're reaching a two. And one plus one is not equal to two over here. If you have the brachas, if you do the tkiyas now and the brachas in 6 hours from now, you don't have the two. They have to be joined together. Everyone follow me? My Rebbe's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pshat. With this, Rebbe Osai, he answered the kasha of the Ramban as well. The Ramban asked, how can Rashi say that Zichron Trua, Rashi and Chumash, means Zichronos and Shofas, etc.? It's impossible. It's an Asmach to B'yam, it's a Dinder Rabbanon. Certainly it's a Dinder Rabbanon, for sure. Asmach to B'divrayim. What are you talking about? You go to the place where they blow, now where they daven, because Hoda Rice, Hoda Rabbanon. Kudam HaRebi, the answer is Kafta V'Ferach, Rabbosai. Absolutely. The brachas by themselves are the Rabbanon. That's the one that Lama Dalim. Two cities. One they blow, one they daven. So if one's the Raisa by itself, one's the Rabbanon by itself. 100% correct. But if you say the brachas in conjunction with the Tekiyas, that according to Rashi and Chumash is the Raisa. Follow me? The Gemara that says it's the Rabbanon is if you go to one city where they have the brachas, they don't have shofar. That's the Rabbanon. But if you go to a city where they blow shofar and they say the brachas themselves adds a dimension of the Raisa to the Tekiyas themselves, as we explained earlier. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. The Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah in two places, Imru lefanai malchios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we should say malchios, etc. And then the Ritva Naftazayin asks Akasha. The Gemara said it's only with the Rabbanon. So the Ritva says that in Asmachta, he has a very big issue of what Asmachta means. Asmachta, according to the Ritva and Rosh Hashanah Tavzayin, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. He didn't make it mandatory. The rabbis made it mandatory. So Imru lefanim is Hashem really wants us to say these three brachas. It wasn't made mandatory until the Chazal came along. And then he said there were some who claim that Asmachta is just a mnemonic device. It's a din which is purely by the Rabbanon, and they somehow attached it and linked it to a pasuk. He considered that to be close to Kfira. Now the one who said it's probably the Rambam, and there may be others, but that's not for now, what the word Asmachta means. But in any event, according to what my Rebbe is saying, according to Rashi Chumash, it's more than a smachta. It's a real din d'oraisa. When you have the tkiyas accompanied by the brachas, there's a fulfillment, the kiyum, the d'oraisa, of making the tkiyas a more enhanced tkiyas, a more meaningful tkiyas, and in this fashion, you are fulfilling an extra kiyum d'oraisa by blowing with the brachas, as Rashi said. The Gemara says it's only the Rabbanon. That's if you're saying the brachas without the tkiyas shofar, Rabbosai. So my Rebbe, Zichron of the Bracha, answered both kashas against Rashi. The kasha of Tosfos against the Haflam Gimel against Rashi, and the kasha of the Rabbanu Chumash against Rashi and Chumash. Are there any questions? I'll take them right now. Okay. Yep.
Does your Rav say that every case of Asmachta is fulfilling Kiyom, right?
That's what the Rav says. Yeah, that's not for that. That's not our main topic for right now. You look it up in Mashana Tezan, you'll see it's right there. Okay, Rabbi, so let's proceed now to part two of today's shiur. Another beautiful chiddush of my Rebbe Zichron of the Bracha. It starts with source number four, a Mishnah. Say the brachas. Omer avos ugvuros ukedushas Hashem. V'kol el malchus imoim ve'eno tokeya. Kedushas Hashem in the 10 days of tshuva and hamelech hakadosh. According to this opinion, we'll see soon, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Pesukim of Malchios are recited before we get to HaMelech HaKadosh. But you don't blow them. Kedushas HaYom, Melech HaKadosh, Mekash Shogam HaZikaron, V'Tokeya, Zichronos, V'Tokeya, Shovas V'Tokeya. And you conclude, Avoda Hoda Berchas Kohanim. Divir Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva is our opinion. Im Eino Tokeya LeMalchios, if you don't blow the shofar in the third of the seven brachas, rather only in the bracha, third of the nine brachas, only rather in four, five, and six, lama hu matzkir. Why should you mention the tenth sukkim in before HaMelech HaKadosh? You should wait, as we do, until after HaMelech HaKadosh. Elo, o ma'ovos u'gvuos tush Hashem, v'kol el malchios u'gvuos hayom, as we do, v'tokeya, Zichronos Vitokeya, Shovos Vitokeya, the Omer Avoda Vodah Birchas Kohan. So the Machlokas in the Mishnah is very clear. When do you say the Psukim of Malchios? In the third Bracha, which is the first possible opportunity, after all it ends on Melech HaKodesh, but Malchios is there, or rather in the fourth Bracha, which also has the word Melech, Melech HaKolarts. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, take the first opportunity, say the Psukim. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, postpone the Psukim until you blow. Goes back to what we spoke about earlier, that the Psukim are an enhancement of the blowing. So you should wait until you blow, which is in the fourth Bracha, before you say the Psukim of Malchus. Right? Just, that's the Mishnah. Put the Mishnah together. One line of Gemara. Just one line. Omer Rabbi Akiva. I mean, it's okay, Malchus Lamu Maska. That's the citation of the Mishnah. One more line left. Lama hu maskir? Why did he mention the psukim? Rachmana amar itkir, the Holy One, the Merciful One, Hashem said itkir. This is another riot that says a din daraisa. Let's say it's an asma. Okay. Ella concludes the Gemara. Lama eser. Why do you mention 10 psukim? Lema teisha. Should say only 9. The whole of the ishtani ishtani. Since it's change, it's change. Rashi, Malchus is change. Vizekronos in Yitkiya, Shitokin Bahem, Ishtanu Nami, Livchos Mehem. Since you don't blow in the third bracha, you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, should say it's enough to have 9 psukim. Should not require pasuk number 10. Adkan, the Gemara with Rashi. This Gemara is an enigma. It's a riddle. Just because you don't blow, you go down from 10 psukim to 9 psukim. What's the logic? What's the seichel? What's happening? Why 10? Why 9? What's it all about? Is the question clear? The question is so powerful. You can see my Rebbe's beautiful answer. My Rebbe used to say sometimes, I ask these questions. He's usually said it mostly in his drush, but it applies to halacha too. And the people don't understand the question. They can't appreciate the answer. I'm not sure you understand how difficult the question is. Ma pitom, they go from 10 to 9 just because you're not blowing. What's it all about? Yes?
Why didn't I ask a better question? Yeah. It's about blowing the yod, though. He has the shofar in his hand. Why should he wait?
Or he should blow in the third bracha.
He should blow immediately, even before the bracha.
Well, we do. Our many gives we blow right away with tkiyas and yushim. But that's for a different discussion.
His answer is like, give support for that.
Good. I hear what you're saying. Please open your sitter. We all have a sitter, the Yitzchak Yor sitter, the standard art school sitter. We're going to turn to Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which can be found on page 323. I hope enough room for everybody. Now you look on. We're getting a new computer. There are 3 options for Musaf. When I was looking with the Rebbe, we didn't have that option. Didn't have these things. Okay. 323 begins Malchios. And just, you know, for those of us who have to refresh our memory, or we should be preparing for Rosh Hashanah, it's only 2 days hence. In Alken, the Kaveh starts Malchios, and we end with three psukim from Chumash. You know, it's easy to tell, if you look in the art scroll, they have on the bottom, they have the sources. Source 4, 5, and 6, Shmos, Mamibah, Devarim, all come from Chumash. Fine. Uvedivre Kotchla Kosolema, when we say, Moaz, three Torah and three Ksuvim and three Nevi'im. The Rebbe pointed out, Ksuvim always means Tehillim in this context. So again, they're quoting, look at source 7, 8, and 9. Tehillim. Okay, from coming from the Tehillim, the Psukim which have the word Melech in it. And finally, they have Adech, Adavim, Chatzal, Neymar, three Psukim from Navi, 10, 11, and 12. Yeshaya, Ovadiah, Zechariah. Meridik, fantastic. And we conclude the Pasuk from Chumash, and we know Shema Yisrael, Devarim. And with me so far? Good. Let's turn the page to Zechronos. 324. And Atta Zocher, a long paragraph. We end with three Psukim, 2, 3, and 4. Bereishis Shmos Vayikra. No problem. Dibre Kotshcha, we have three from Tehillim. Right? 5, 6, and 7. Three psukim from Nevi'im about Zechronos, 8, and the next page 1 and 2, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yirmiyah. And we conclude pasuk number 10, source 3 over here, Vayikra. Terrific. The pattern continues. Then you have Atta Neglesa, which is Shofros. The end of Shofros, we have three psukim. What are they? The three psukim at the end of Shofros are 4, 5, and 6. Shmos, Shmos, Shmos. We'll have to do with Mamad HaSinai. Then we have three from Tehillim. What are they? 7, 8, 9. Tehillim, yeah, 3. Here's a problem. We'll get to it later on page 326. There's another Tehillim. What's that doing here? We'll come to that later. Three Nevi'im, 2, 3, and 4. Yeshaya, 2, and then Zechariah. And finally, number 10, Bamidbar. Good. So I just went through it very quickly. The only problem we had so far was an extra about Tosef, if you will, in extra pasuk of Tehillim and Shofar. We'll come back to that. But it's most important to note the pattern, and we'll see it both on page 325 and 326. After we have an introduction, here you see it in 324 and 5, Atta Zocher and Atta Neglesa, which are followed by a recitation of Psukim, the 10th pasuk, the last pasuk, is not mentioned as part of that recitation. It's incorporated into the Bakasha. The 10th Pasuk, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Zochreinu. That's a Bakasha, a paragraph of prayer, not a recitation. We beg Hashem to remember us kindly and to save us, and to give us salvation. Remember the covenant and the oath to our ancestors. And because of this, you should control your anger and save our people, a whole story, and fulfill a certain thing. It's all a tefillah. In the middle of that tefillah, we introduce a pasuk of tefillah for Zechariah and Bris Rishonim. This 10th pasuk is recited separate and apart from the first 9. Reason being, our Rebbe explained, the first 9 are recitations. They are, as we mentioned earlier, they are enhancing and explaining the significance of the Tkiyah Shofar by quoting Psukim from Torah to Hillim and the Nevi'im respectively, which relate to the themes of the Shofar. First Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofar. Pasuk number 10 is separate and apart. It is an entreaty. It is a beseeching of Hashem to remember us kindly, and to control Kevayochel's anger, and to fulfill his oath. All the bakash that we ask, which are so important to us, we throw in a pasuk in the middle. That pasuk is really a tefillah, and the tefillah is the most linked to the tkiyah shofar. Immediately after the tkiyah, after the tefillah is over, right away you blow shofar. Yes, it's true. There's a linkage between the recitation and the Tkiyah Shov, as we mentioned earlier in the Shir. But the main link is the Tefillah. The Rebbe would say that the Shofar is a Tefillah without words. It's almost a visceral kind of a cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us. That's so critical that Tefillah be linked to the words of Tefillah coming from the Chumash. So too, not the Neglesa. 3:3 and 3. And then in Elokeinu, 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 Tka b'shofar gadol l'chayim Seinu. Once again, we're an entreaty, we're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to gather in our exiles. And then, we'll have a base of Mikdash. We pray to Hashem that we should have the Chatzotzros in the base of Mikdash, and etc., etc. It's all part of the Tefillah. And the Tefillah leads directly into the Tkiyah Shofar of Shofaris, because that's the Tefillah Shavuot.
Excuse me, I have to leave that point here, the others.
Thank you, Rabbi Chalom.
You got it.
Thank you. Therefore, this pattern is established both with respect to Zichronos and with respect to Shofaris. Now, someone can ask me a kasha about Malchus. Ask me a kasha. It's not there. It should say that this pattern would continue. Turn back to page 323. It should say Elokeinu v'lokeinu v'oseinu melocha kol kul v'chvodecha yom kol asher nesham v'yapo Hashem elokeinu v'oseinu melech v'makosomach v'masholach ka'omor shma Yisrael Hashem elokeinu Hashem echad. That's what it should say. The same as it said ka'omor v'zuchat v'nebritz v'shonim in Zichronos, and it said ka'omor Yom Simchasim in Shofaris. Who wants to suggest why the pattern doesn't continue in this fashion? Make a suggestion, Rabbi. Why doesn't it say Ka'omer with Shema Yisrael in the middle of Melocha Kol Olam? Why?
With the Shofar you're doing.
No. A technical answer. A technical answer. Not a concept. Technical answer. Okay, I'll give you a hint. What? No. The hint, huh?
He doesn't need our recognition.
No, well, you're all saying lumdus. I'm being technical. The hint is found at the top of page 324 and 5. The top. What does it say there? What are the top words? The first words on those two pages. What's printed on top? Lemariv shachris umincha. In Mariv and Shachris and Mincha, we say the same text of Meloch. And obviously, Shema Yisrael is not going to be in there. It doesn't belong. They didn't want to tamper with the text. Purely technical answer. They didn't want to tamper with the text. So therefore, what's the next best thing to putting the Shema Yisrael in Meloch, where it belongs? You put it just before Meloch. And my Rebbe had a practical difference based on this lumdus, on this conceptual idea, that Shema Yisrael belongs to Meloch, it doesn't belong to the previous paragraph. Notwithstanding the text of the art scroll, which has Va'al in big bold letters and next to Elokeinu, my Rebbe would have it differently. He would have Va'al, and then he'd have a V'tarasa in bold letters going into Elokeinu. Might have Kamina, so it sounds purely theoretical. But no, practical. In shuls that you go to, I'm sure I imagine you go to the same kind of shul that I go to, there is a very well established custom. I know it since my youth. I'm guessing that my great great grandfather knew it since his youth as well. Give the chazan a chance to rest his voice for a few seconds. And therefore, in Yom Nerayim davening, there's a little bit of a tune that is sung at the end of every paragraph. The chazan has to prompt the tune, that's true. Because a little bit strained in his voice, just the prompting. But then they give a few seconds to catch his breath and they sing. Forgive me, my voice for singing it. Goes like this. This is the Marshall, anyway. Da 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 da. Correct? That's how it goes? And my father Stiebel, then he went into a whole longer thing just to give the chazan a bigger break. We don't that, those shoes don't have that. But they have a little break. So where does it go? After every paragraph. So you start over here. You say, I'm just starting how as I do it. Yachat Shifte Yisrael. You go up, and then they give you. Then Melech HaKavod Tzela, weiter. Then what? So if you follow the arts consider Hashem Echad, then they go not Marshall. In Marshall, it says Bayom Ahu Yah Hashem Echad Shema Echad. And I go with that tune, and they sing the song. Give me a chance to rest. Then I say, Ubasaras Lakos Alem Hashma Yisrael Hashem Lakeinu Hashem Echad Lakeinu 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 Spoke before about Neshim Achas. This is a Neshim Achas. Pushing the Shema Yisrael into the Malach. You can't do it literally, but conceptually, we push it in by having the break earlier. Alpi Rabbein Bezal. Oh. Having said all this, Rabbi Osai, let's go back to the Kash that was bothering us. The Kash that bothered us over here. What's Pshat in this Gemara? Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, if you're not blowing from Malchus, Lama Hu Maskir. How did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's Shmona Esrei look? He started. My Rebbe quoted a certain Chokrim who said, "Go back to page 321, even 320, the last line." At the Kodesh Hashimcha Kodesh Kedosh Shemel Chaselah. Who bechein ten pachta, bechein ten kovet, bechein tzadikim v'simlach Kodesh. Where is that coming from? So the Chokrim suggest that this may have been the psicha of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had his 10 psukim, or 9 psukim, whatever number he had, in Kedushas HaShem, before Melech HaKadosh. And Rabbi Psicha, we have Alken Nekava, Ata Zolcha, Ata Negleza. Maybe he had Ubechent and Pachta. That's a suggestion that some have made. The Rebbe would quote it regularly. Never was quite sure if he thought it was true or not, but he would quote it. Okay. Then he would quote, let's say after the Simloch, I don't know what he would say. He'd say, have Psukim from Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and then HaMelech HaKadosh with no Tkiyas. Presumably he said 10, and Rabbi Kiva asked, you only say 9. Why only 9? Because there's no Tfilah here. Bechlal has no Tfilah in the, generally speaking, the Tfilah proper in the first 3. But in any event, there's no new Tfilah. There's no Tfilah which incorporates a pasuk in the context of a tkiya. Therefore, it doesn't make sense, Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, to have 10 psukim, the dvarecha that you say the psukim in bracha number 3, and don't blow until after 3 pages later. Melech HaKadosh Mekayesh Shorim HaZikaron, you're blowing then. So why are you putting the 10th pasuk so much earlier? There's no connection between the two of them. Therefore, ho v'yishtani yishtani. You'd only be able to, you should only really blow, say rather 9 instead of 10. Yeah, 9 is the recitation, the greatness of Malchus Hashem. That belongs in the Melech HaKadosh as well as it belongs in the Melech HaKalart. But the connection, the closest connection to the Tkiya, which comes with the Tefillah, which we find in Atta in Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu twice, Zachreinu V'Zikaron and Tka B'Shofar, would not be appropriate in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zuri's rendition, a version of Malchus. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva tells him, instead of blowing 10, he should blow 9. Quite a remarkable interpretation that the Rebbe had in this Gemara, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, on Daf, Lamed, Beis, Amud Aleph. Instead of being an enigma, a riddle, which is unintelligible, to the contrary, it makes perfect and beautiful sense. It's Kimin Chomer. We understand it completely and totally what the conversation is about to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why he says if it's no tkiyas, go down from 10 to 9, because it's only the 10th pasuk which is incorporated into the tefillah bakasha that links directly to the tkiya. In the third bracha, where there's no tkiya, and there's in fact no bracha of that type, you should only have 9 instead of 10. And we had the extra little twist that in Meloch it should say Kama Shema Yisrael. It's not there because of the Mar of Shachas and Mincha, so we try to push it in by arranging the paragraphs a little bit different than printed in here in this siddur. I owe you something. Why is it that we have an extra psukim of tilim in shofaros? Not just an extra pasuk, actually an extra perek. You look back on the bottom of page 325, 7, 8, 9 are the 3 psukim of tilim with respect to shofaros, and all of a sudden, an entire perek, number 1 on page 326, Tilim Kufnun Aleph Tuvav, 6 extra psukim. What in the world is it doing here? Is there a shayla about Tosef? Why are we having extra psukim? So my Rebbe said, that these psukim are shalom and aminyan. Does not count towards the tenth psukim that we have found in the Gemara. No. What's it doing here, you'll ask? Well, why is it here? So my Rebbe explained that when a person davens in Rosh Hashanah, it's not Chas Hashanah, but dry davening. Davening should never be dry. Kavachom in Rosh Hashanah. Not a dry davening. It is a heartfelt, in some cases, tear-soaked tefillah from the depths of one's soul to Kadosh Baruch Hu. An individual who prays from the depths of his soul to Kadosh Baruch Hu feels a closeness to Hashem which cannot be felt in any other way. Cannot be. And therefore, when a person feels so close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he is, or certainly should be, overwhelmed by a feeling of joy, of ecstasy, of the spiritual type. Remember, the source for all joy is Hashem. We said it this morning. Oz v'chedva b'mkomo. Chedva, joy, comes from closest to HaKadosh Baruch. And we feel so close. Remember, we finished Malchios. We finished the Chronos. We're almost finished with Shofars. We finished the Tehillim aspect of Shofars. We're just about, you know, coming towards the end. Our closeness to Hashem should cause us to burst forth in song spontaneously, because we're so happy, we're so close, we feel so spiritually overwhelmed. Hence, Chazal introduced an entire perek of Tehillim, 6 extra psukim, shalom and aminyan. You already had the 3 psukim from Tehillim. This is a song. And therefore, in our shul, I can serve as a Baal Musaf, in contrast to everything else in the long recitation of Malchus, Achronos, and Shofars, this perek is sung with a niggun. Niggun, I'm singing the same niggun for 40 years. The Maharil says you don't change any niggunim. And despite all the brand new niggunim that come and go, the popular ones stays the same. Same niggun that was chosen the first year is still there. And it's a niggun by which I express my Rebbe's sentiment that this is not a recitation. It's just a feeling of song that we're supposed to experience. Oz v'chedav v'mkongo, we feel so overjoyed to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we, that's the whole point of Hashanah Davening, you just shake all the chitzonius off you. There should be a pneumius. The shofars are blowing from the inside. And you think a person, remember, in Chazaras HaShatz, when we sing, we've just gotten through singing the Sana Tokef, we know our lives are on the line, and we feel so close to Hashem that He's the one who's now pronouncing us, hopefully for good, and not chalila in the reverse. This creates a closeness which should engender a happiness, a joy, which should lead us to a song. Hence we have the parent capital Kuf Nun. So let's review. Just on the Malchus, the Chronos, and Shofars aspect, the Malchus, my Rebbe's Ha'ara, was that the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad really belongs in the middle of Maloch, Ka'amur. We would have done it, say, for the fact that in Ma'ar of Shachas and Mincha, we don't do it that way. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was told by Rabbi Akiva, if you're only saying in Kiddush Kedushas Hashem and not blowing, you should only have 9. You're missing that 10th, which is not a recitation, but part of the tefillah should precede immediately the Tekiyah Shofar. That's his Ha'ara, as far as the brilliant answer to one of the Flamin Beis, but the Ha'ara and the Nusach, if you will, of Musaf, which echoes in our shul, when we have the niggin of the saying perhaps to the chazan, after Shmuel Achor and before Uva Sarascha Suleiman, which goes right into Malok. In Shofras, the Rebbe has an impact on our shul that we sing the Kufnu and the niggin, because that's supposed to be, it's not min aminyan. So I'll mention one thing that Rebbe had in Zichronus as well, which is the Shitas HaRambam, which is in opposition to those of other Kadmonim. Page 324, Uvedivre Kotchla Kosov Lemor, Zecher Osum the Flos of Chana V'Racham Hashem. It's difficult. All the other psukim of Zichronos, Hashem did remember, does remember, will remember, but the word Zecher, he made a memorial for his miracles, doesn't seem to fit. If you look in the Rambam, in his Nusach HaTefillah, you will find, indeed, it doesn't count. Is it there? It's there. So if it's there, why doesn't it count? What's it all about? he has Zecher with the next pasuk together. Zecher Os and Vos of Kanarachim Hashem. And the next pasuk, which follows immediately, some Nusach Sfar says it in Shabbos Mincha. Teref Nosan Lireyav Yisko Leolim Briso. It all counts as one. You'll ask, so why bother mentioning Zecher if it all counts as one and Zecher doesn't really count, it's really the Yizkor? We have something similar in Malchios. In the previous page, we have the last pasuk of Tehillim. It's really four psukim. Sushar Mashechem, Melech HaKovet, Miza Melech HaKovet. It's five times the word Melech. So once you're having one, they mention all five. I'm not sure if the question, the issue is whether the Gwadners are questioning Miza Melech would count if you don't say who he is exactly. Not for now. Bottom line is, even though it's there, it doesn't count. So what else? What other parts of the drama have in his text? What I say, which is Zocha Leolam Briso, Davasiva Lelavdar, Pasuk in Tehillim. So in my shul, that's the one real change I make based on the Rav and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur Lat, is only this. I add this pasuk. So when I spoke about it in shul recently, I said, you know, the Rav, I used the lashon, it's a mistake. So they came after you after the Nishka mistake. They found it in the Ramban, in Tainus, so they found it in the Abu Draham, and the Rav Amram going, say it's a mistake is a little bit harsh. Okay, but why not spend an extra 10 seconds and say the extra 10th pasuk, if you will, in the 10 seconds, maybe less than 10 seconds, by in that one pasuk of Zoch Alon Bris Dovah Sivel Avdor. Atkan, so Rav Osai, I told you just to review so far, we have another 15 minutes to go. Two fantastic pshatim from the Rebbe. The first was to Antashitas Rashi. Rashi said in two places that the Indian of Zichronos seems to be a Doraisa. Rashi in Chumash quotes it, and Rashi in the Gemara has an idea that Ma'ak Vezu Vezu, that without the Zichronos, you don't really have the Tkiyas. So the Ramban asks, it says in the Gemara, if you go to one town versus another, the Tkiyas is Doraisa and the Baruch is only the Rabbanon. And Tosis says the same kash against the Rashi, who says, Ma'ak Vezu Vezu. The Rebbe's answer was, yes, the brachas by themselves are the Rabbanon, but the brachas is an enhancement of the Tkiyas. That's a Kiyum Doraisa. That we keep saying, the Tkiyas is not a dry mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which has echoes so many deep themes we're supposed to think about in Rosh Hashanah. So Ma'ak Vezu doesn't mean Ma'akav completely, Ma'akav the full fulfillment of Shofar. And that's in fact true. And vice versa. On Shabbos, we say the brachas, you're missing that key, you're missing that finale, the climax of the entire recitation. And when the Gemara says, Hod Rabbanon, it's only in a city which only have the brachas without the tkiyas. But if the brachas are there together with the tkiyas, it would be a kiyam daraisa in enhancing the mitzvah tkiyas shofar. These are two beautiful comments of my Rebbe on Musaf Rosh Hashanah as advertised. In the remaining time, yes.
What was the pasuk that you put in?
Zocha Leolam Briso Dovah Tzivel. Where's it come from?
Yeah.
Tillim. I'll get it to you from Tillim. We say a similar pasuk every morning in Hodu. But the Hodu in Tillim is in Perek Kuf Hei. Zocha Leolam Briso. What pasuk about the eighth pasuk or so? In the morning we say Zichru. Now that would be no good. Zocha. That we remember, that's no good. I want Hashem to remember. Okay. In the remaining time, perhaps we can fulfill Ad Kan Divri Harav, Bikan Ve'elch Divri Atal. And I'll tell you something which I have to say about Musaf on Rosh Hashanah as about Tefillah. And that is a question of the timing. The timing. How long does Musaf go? That's in some ways to Balabata much more important than what you say this pasuk or that pasuk. You see this niggin, you stop at this place in the paragraph. Tachlis, right? When ending? So there are more rights. You go until Chatzos. I'm going to read you from the original text. Some of the texts are here, but most are not. I'm just going to read you very briefly from the Ramah in Simen Tov Kuf Pei Dalet. Again, very briefly. Time is short. I'm going to try to end. I have to end on time. It's another shiur coming in, but still have enough time to speak. Says the Ramah, Umarichim bepiyutim utzfilos ad chatzos. Source Maharil. Mishnah Brura, Ad Chatzos, L'chol HaPochas. Who said so? Maharil. At least until Chatzos. V'imchal b'Shabbos, Ein laharech yosem mechatzos. Chas v'shalom on Shabbos. Who's the source for this? Marashal. Yam shel Shlomo and Beitzer. Beginning of the second parak. There's a lot. Thank God, a large crowd here today. Is anyone in the shul Yudavim fulfill this Mishnah Berurah? Namely, that when Rosh Hashanah is during the week, you go past Chatzos. When Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, you stop before Chatzos. Is there one person in this entire room who follows that? Yeah, your shul? Good for you. So, let me tell you what happened in my shul. Some, a little less than 30 years ago, I was so bothered by this. The first day of the year, we're going against the Mishnah Berurah. So it was Shabbos, I said to Balbat, I'm making a deal. It was already a few weeks before. I'm making a deal. We'll start 15 minutes earlier, and I won't speak. They gained more than 15 minutes, you're about to say. Rosh Hashanah, I think, much more than 15 minutes. Rabbi, we got a deal. We got a deal? We have a deal. They'll get it 15 minutes earlier, get out. They'll gain much more. Okay. That Friday night, I'm saying to myself, what am I doing here? I'm following Mr. Brewer. I'm trying to be a good kosher Jew. But Klal Yisrael has been doing this against for centuries, probably against this Mr. Brewer. What's going on over there? The Ramah makes no distinction. And I came up with the following pshat, which I want to share with you. And perhaps you have a chance, in the remaining 10 minutes or so, we can elaborate a little bit on this theme. It's like this, Rabbi Osai. There are two sources here which are conflated, unfortunately, and they say two different things. One is the Maharil and one is the Maharshal. The Maharil said, L'chol ha'pochus. You should go past Chatzos, at least past Chatzos. The Maharshal is in Beitzer, second parak, Chatzil Hashem v'chatzil Lachem. He says, you know what? Normally, you're not allowed to fast past Chatzos on Yontif. But, on Rosh Hashanah, it's okay. Take a look, you have it in front of you. Source 7, I just realized. Source 7, Ad Chatzos, L'chol ha'pochus. That's the Maril, right? Shem is on the Maril. Can cause the Yam Shul Shlomo Bebeitza, Shabbat Rosh Hashanah, Yuchal Laharech Yosef Mechatzos, Im Lo Shechal B'Shabbos. Came with the following suggestion, Rebbe Osai. It's a famous Kesef Mishnah, Sameach, in Nichus Avodas Yom Kippurim. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the Kohen Gadol, who's normally required to do all Avodas Yom Kippurim, must also do the Avodas of Shabbos. And the question is why? It's just a coincidence. This happens to fall out on Shabbos. Why? So the Kesef Mishnah states, and Rav Samech explains, that we don't view Yom Kippur and Shabbos as two different entities which happen to coincide. No. They merge into one indivisible unit. It's one unit. It's Shabbos and Yontif. Not it's a coincidence. It happens to be Yontif, which is on Shabbos, and vice versa. No, a new entity called Shabbos Yom Kippur. Potentially, we can extend it to Shabbos and Yontif as well. We all know Yom Kippur is different than Shabbos Shabboson, Ochel Nev, which is also not the same. Still, my Rebbe once suggested, at the Machlokos Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Masechta the Beitza. Do you say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisroel V'Azmanim as we do Beis Hillel? Or do you say Mekadesh HaShabbos? And another bracha, Mekadesh Yisroel V'Azmanim. One of his suggestions. So since we follow Beis Hillel, we make a suggestion, even on a regular Yontif, Shabbos and Yontif come together as one unit. Rabosai, when Shabbos and Yontif come together as a single unit, the logic is that we are not restrained by the constraints of Shabbos, this particular Shabbos. It's not a plain Shabbos. It's a Shabbos Yontif. Or in this case, a Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. If there's a reason to go beyond Chatzos on a Rosh Hashanah this year on Thursday, we'll discuss the reason momentarily, well, that reason will impel us to do the same thing on Shabbos, notwithstanding the fact that in the noble Shabbos we're not permitted to go past Chatzos. This is the Maril. You look at the Maril, he never says anything that Shabbos is different. And remember, Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos is a very common, every 3 years or so it comes out on Shabbos. You should have said something. No. According to the Maril, that's L'chol HaPochus, it's a mitzvah to go beyond Chatzos, it applies even on Shabbos. The Maharshal, on the other hand, Yam Shul Shlomo, he never said it's a mitzvah. He just said, if you want, we saw the Lashon in the Magen Avraham, Yuchal, they gave you a heter, a het that they go beyond Chatzos. The het that they go beyond Chatzos is only during the week. It's not on Shabbos. By the way, the Machtis HaShekel, in his keen eye, noticed this long before me, said, I'll read you. From the Maril, that the Ramah quotes, it goes against Yamshel Shlomo. Because according to the Maril, Roy Laharich. Yamshel Shlomo says, only Rashoy Laharich. Doesn't mean it's Roy. He hasn't discussed the Shabbos issue. But I'm saying, if it's Roy, it's even on Shabbos. If it's only Rashoy, then it's not on Shabbos. Now, why should it be Roy? I'll give you my suggestion. Gemara Avodah Zorah says in Avdalad, in Avgimel and Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us on the morning of Rosh Hashanah. There are two opinions. The first 3 hours of the morning, the next 3 hours of the morning, that's possibly unresolved. It's not completely clear whether it's resolved or not resolved. Rabbi Osai, we believe, as we say, we believe what we say, V'chol boy, olam, orum, lefonav, kivnei marom. Every person goes before HaKadosh Baruch. Single file. I'll ask you a question, Rabbi Osai. When Hashem puts his spotlight on you, what do you want to be doing? In front of a marzer or in front of gefilte fish? It's a bit of gefilte fish. I'm not saying no. But you presumably prefer to be that the Kodesh Baruch is putting the spotlight on you when you're sitting with your marzer with tremendous kavana, as opposed to the meal, you know, how much do we eat properly? I don't want to go into what we do. Whatever. Better in shul. That's why the Maril says, make sure you stay in shul to live to Chatzos, because we're not exactly sure when that magical moment is going to be. And therefore, since it's Roy, it's on Shabbos as well. Because there's no independent Shabbos separate from Yom. The Marshal is different. This leads to an interesting Kaf HaChaim, who says, you don't sleep in Rosh Hashanah. After Chatzos, I go to sleep. You don't, to the contrary, the Aris, you have to get up by Alos HaShachar. That's a little tough. But in any event, the idea of sleeping is also, I mean, truth is, maybe we're safer sleeping than eating a filter fish, because I mean, when we're sleeping, we're not doing anything wrong. I have no bad kavanas. Maybe we're better sleeping. But if you're better to be saying tilim, so those who get up early. But the til chatzos, a person shouldn't sleep, but afterwards, according to many, he's allowed to sleep. Oh, fine. Now I come to my final point in the last 5 minutes. The Ramah quotes something quite remarkable. It's in the Tov Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Siv Gimel. This may sound purely theoretical, but it's going to be relevant to my explanation. Tov Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Siv Gimel, it says as follows. There are those who fast on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Fast in Rosh Hashanah. In contrast to Sephala, Ochlim Usmech, Vishosim Usmechim, V'Enris on Rosh Hashanah. That's Sephala. Siv Gimel, there were those who fast on Rosh Hashanah. Says the Mishnah Brura, Ein Alacha Kein. Nonetheless, a person does it, it's not going to be considered to be an Aveira. And then he says further than that, Mishnah Brura Yudalf, those who fast, Afilu chal b'Shabbos. Mishnah Brura. I have a kasha. The Mishnah Brura is the one who himself said back in Tov Kuf Pei Dalet that even a half a day shouldn't be fasting on Shabbos. So why over here is he saying that those who fast a full day should do it even on Shabbos? Bosai, here's the answer. The Mishnah Brura himself is afraid maybe the Marashal is right. It's not Roy, it's only Rashoy. Does not apply on Shabbos. Here, in Tov Kuf Tzadi Zayin, he's explaining an opinion which he does not necessarily subscribe to, that there were those who fast the whole day on Rosh Hashanah. They fast the whole day because they believe it's Roy. It's Yom HaDin. You should be fasting the whole day. It's Roy, not just Rashoy. If it's Roy, it's even B'Shabbos. Again, it's not Mishru's own opinion. He's only explaining that those who do it don't have to fast another day to have a kapara for it. Because Yesh Omim, the mitzvah is time for Rosh Hashanah. Not just Roy, not just Rashoy, Mitzvah Rabosai. Mitzvah. Oh. The Rosh, I only have another 3 minutes. The Rosh in Rosh Hashanah Eskakasha. You're against the Pasuk, these Gaonim. The Pasuk says, the famous Pasuk, Ichlu Mashmanim Shusum Amtakim Ki Kodosh Yom Ladoneinu. A phrase we mentioned in Amos of Davin. And that's in Rosh Hashanah. So, how in the world is it possible that the Gaonim said, you have to fast under the midst of the fast of Rosh Hashanah? It's against the Pasuk. It's against the Pasuk Mamish. Avatarits. The Rosh Hashanah is against the Pasuk. Are you familiar with this expression? Those no Shasha know it. Mimos Ezra Va'elech Lomotzinu El Mu'ubur. Gemara Beit, Gemara Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? In the time of Ezra, it was Mu'ubur. That's what it means. Mimos Ezra Va'elech was Mu'ubur. When was it Mu'ubur? That very same year. That year has been described in the Psukim. If you look at Tosfos Masechta Rosh Hashanah, your Testament base, Mimos Ezra Va'elech Lomotzinu El Mu'ubur, and Mashav Mimos Ezra Hayim Mu'ubur. All those psukim, all the psukim which end ichlu mashmanim. So what does that mean? That means that one time in history there were 30 days in Elul. On the 30th day of Elul, it was, as we have in the Gemara Beitza, Nogim also Yom Kodesh Ulamacha Kodesh. But when is Yom Adin? Yom Adin is Echad B'Tishrei. So that year, uniquely in history, Yom Adin was the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, the Pasuk says on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Ichlu Mashmanim Rishum Amdakim, because it's Yom Tov, and it's not Yom Adin yet. Ah, enjoy. But every other year since then, when Aleph to Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, the Gaonim say, it's a mitzvah l'sadas, because of Emas Adin. As against the Pasuk? No, it's not against the Pasuk. The Pasuk is in that unique situation where the Yom Adin was the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is Aleph Tishrei. The first day was Laman Elul. But nowadays, every year since then, we have to fast according to the Gaonim, the mitzvah of the because it's a Yom Adin. Much more to be said, but my time is up. And although on Rosh Hashanah I go past Chatzos, today I'm not going past 11 o'clock. Akhtiva v'chassim ato to one and all.